Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies who are moms, and all ladies in a way are moms because we are all called to nurture something, some way, somehow, to support or give life in some way to others. And we remember our beautiful Mother Earth who gives life to us all. We also pay homage and honor to Mary, the Mother of Christ, as we come to this Christ Blessing Day with all the love in our heart, not only loving, but being in love. That is, you know, the difference is love is what you give because you just want to. You see something that's wonderful, awesome, kind, that you appreciate, that needs support, and you love it. It could be anything from a friend to a stray dog. You love because love is needed. Love is such a beautiful thing to see shining through the eyes of another person, another soul. But then there are moments when you feel in love, and that's the love that comes from the inside out. And that's when you're in the presence of an opportunity to love and be the love that you are, shining as a light. And I think that's what we feel toward our moms. We appreciate the love they've given us, and we give it back from the inside out, from our hearts. I see that we've got Scott on the line. Hi, Scott. How are you today?
Good. Thank you. Along the lines of nurturing, on the support group call, we had a question, and I was asked to posit it. It's along the lines of when you do the blessing protocol,
uh-huh.
Are there times it's appropriate to include yourself, nurture yourself, apply that blessing protocol to yourself?
Well, actually, Scott, all blessing givers, by conveying the Spirit of Christ, are nurturing themselves. You don't require a feedback loop. You don't require something that then turns back and focuses on you because you are the conveyor of the blessing. There really is no separation between you and what you're conveying. And I guess, does that help, Scott?
Yeah, a great deal.
Okay, good, good. So we'll move on with our call for the day. And that was just an example of how conscientious our blessing givers are in offering blessings to others and including themselves in the blessing, which often we need. Sometimes I ask the blessing givers not to convey, but just to surrender and receive. And I think that the subject of surrender is really a huge one in the process of receiving the love of God, the blessings of Christ, the healing of the Holy Spirit, because, well, the reason it's a big deal is because nobody likes to be vulnerable. But then it's also a big deal because we've got a lot of misconceptions about what surrender is. We think that surrender might just be giving up or submitting to some external force that's attempting to subdue our power or our authority in life, or at least dominating us against our will. And so we think of surrender as being less than we are. What Christ taught us is that only in a state of surrender can we be all that we are. And we are not submitting to being conquered or subdued by an adversarial force. We are allowing ourselves to be truly vulnerable in that we can be larger. You see, we all, just as human beings, being the way we are, we all define our lives by what we feel that we have a measure of control over, a measure of affinity for, what we can form our realities around and share our realities with others and form agreements in due respect. And we tend to define our life and ourselves by these parameters. But you're so much bigger than that. And in order to step outside these parameters, we have to be a little bit vulnerable. Think for a moment of the people who came to this continent 200, 300, 400 years ago. They couldn't have been anything but vulnerable. They had no idea what they would encounter. They had no idea about the weather or what to take, and they could actually take precious little because every pound of cargo was essential to surviving the voyage. Talk about vulnerable. Talk about willing to just surrender your life to God in order to have a better life on the other side of that surrender. We come into this world in that state of vulnerability. And the one who accepts us and nurtures us and cares for us is Mom. Now, Daddy does too, but he comes along into our consciousness usually a few days, or in most cases a few weeks later, when we begin to realize that he's an essential part of the formula, an essential part of our life, and he holds us and plays with us and brings to our life his own unique gifts, love, and grace. Maybe that's why Father's Day comes after Mother's Day. But the one who holds us in her womb and receives us only moments after birth is dear Mom, who bathes us and changes us and feeds us and dries our tears and puts Band-Aids on our knees when we fall down. And I think that not only do we love Mom because she was wonderful, but we love Mom also because she allowed us the grace to be vulnerable, to explore life, to reach out and embrace this whole new banquet that God had laid before us. We could be anything. We could be anything we could imagine. And this is a wonderful day to cultivate that remembrance, to thank our mothers for it, and to realize that whenever we hold that sense of vulnerability within ourselves, we are resting in our mother's arms, or we're walking hand in hand with her through the park, feeding the ducks. We are maybe out hunting for Easter eggs, or just smelling the roses, swinging on the swing. We're being in our precious, vulnerable self. Now, at the time you were that way, you didn't realize it. You had no words for it. But you were in a perfect state of surrender. The moment you were born, you surrendered to life. Before you were born, you were in the all-powerful kingdom of heaven, land of all possibilities, all pleasure, no pain. And only seconds later, here you were, in this world of focused possibility, with both pleasure and pain, with both challenge, success, and disappointments. And you were vulnerable. The only way you could have dealt with that in a state of happiness was just surrender. You were not surrendering to adversaries. Everybody loved you. Everybody wanted you to be happy. But you surrendered. And sometimes your mom had to remind you that surrender was essential because you were not yet wise enough or focused enough or skilled enough to really be as willful as you wanted to be. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves again that perhaps we don't have yet all the skills, all the knowledge, the strength of focus or the social support to move headlong into our will, our project, what we absolutely want to see happen. And it's so refreshing to be able to just surrender into our vulnerability inside of that. Now, you may not see it quite this way, but that's what you do every night when you go to sleep. One of the things people have a great deal of difficulty doing is sleeping when they're in a state in life where surrender is difficult for them. They might be in a high challenge situation where they're worried about how they're going to make ends meet, whether they'll get the job, whether a friend still loves them, whether a health condition is going to worsen or get better, or somebody very dear to them is under siege in some way. It's difficult to surrender because we feel that, well, I've got to keep all my defenses up. I've got to keep all my focus on whatever condition is challenging me. And I don't want to surrender. You can't sleep when you can't surrender. That's really what it's all about. And then something comes along and it forces you to surrender. Well, it doesn't have to be that dramatic. If we will use these precious energies today to remember the way Mom rocked us in the cradle, she allowed us to know that no matter what, we were loved. It was an unconditional state. We were loved. Even if we wanted that red ball and we couldn't have it, Mom would allow us to know that when it's time to have that red ball, you'll get it. Until then, I've got something else for you. And we could surrender into that peace. Surrender was a really, really big concept that Yeshua taught us many times in many ways. And it's a very essential part of faith. Because faith is not about moving headlong into life being blind. Faith can be knowing exactly what you want, but you don't know how you'll get it. One of the things he taught me that I thought was extremely valuable was the 1% principle. Let's say you know what you want. You don't know how it will happen. You don't know how you'll finance it, or you don't know how you'll win the love of this other person. But you do know what you want. There's always 1% you can do. You wouldn't even have the goal or the idea or the thought or the vision if there wasn't 1% you could do. So do that 1% and have faith that in the process of moving forward, you'll get 2%. Do that. Have faith and move forward knowing you'll get 3%. There's a story that I shared with everyone in Love Without End, and I would imagine most people on this call have read Love Without End. Maybe you've heard that story, so I won't go into detail, but I found myself in a very challenging, possibly adversarial condition in a New York subway heading into the Bronx. This was actually at the end of the day, moving kind of later into the afternoon, after all the business traffic had left, and I had an appointment with someone. Actually, I was going there to pick out a puppy. There was a breeder of just the kind of dog I wanted, and I wanted to see the puppies. That they were just now old enough that had their eyes open, that they had a little bit of personality, and I could see which one I wanted. I had no idea that about the boroughs in New York. For heaven's sake, I was a country Well, I wasn't all that naive. Actually, I'd been to New York many times as an artist, but I led a very sheltered life when I was there. And, of course, I had gone to school in New Orleans, and you have to watch the streets you walk on in New Orleans, so I wasn't completely green behind the ears, but I still wasn't familiar with the boroughs in New York or the protocols for safe conduction of life. Otherwise, I would not have taken the subway. I would have taken a taxi into the Bronx, not a subway. And so just after we went to the last stop before the Bronx, everybody got off the train, except for me and my car. We went to one stop in the Bronx, and some teenage boys got on about, I don't remember right now how many, I think there were six. They got on the car I was in, and they looked at me, and instead of moving away from me, they came over and they sat and they surrounded me. And I got these weird feelings, and I thought, oh boy. And I looked and down, I as best I could, down the other cars, and there was nobody else anywhere. It was me and the boys. And they had, from punk clothing to tattoos to the right style haircuts and so forth, you could tell they were little gang members. And I figured from that moment on, my purse was history. And all I could really hope for is they would like me enough that I wouldn't be history. So I looked up and I said, hi. You know, that was my 1%. Hi. And in sort of a punkish but not hostile way, one of them said, hi, back. And another one said, what are you doing down here? And so that gave me my 2%. And I said, I'm going to pick out my puppy. Well, who doesn't love a puppy? Especially kids. And that brought me 3%. Because another one said, oh, what kind of puppy? So I started talking about puppies. Well, you don't sound like where are you from anyway? And I thought, well, I'm going to dramatize my Texas accent. I thought, I'm from Texas. Oh, give me a break. They said, nobody talks like that. Well, Texans do. Haven't you ever seen a John Wayne movie? And one of them said, do you wear a cowboy hat? And I said, honey, I used to raise horses. I used to ride in rodeos. Well, what are you doing in New York? I said, well, I'm an artist now. And I've got a studio here. Well, what do you do with an art? I paint. And then one of them said, oh, my friend here, he paints. And so by that time, I was up to my 30 or 40%. And I said, oh, what do you paint? And he said, oh, look out the window. Well, the walls were covered with graffiti. He was a graffiti artist. And I looked out the window, and I said, well, you know, that's great. Did you do all of it? Oh, no, I didn't do it all. We got a whole crew. But he was awfully proud. I mean, he was strutting. And then one of them said, don't you know it's not safe for you to be down here? And I said, well, actually, no, I didn't. And then one said, well, you know, we're going to have to take care of you. Well, from that moment on, of course, they were my guardians. So they went from being rough kids to being my guardians. I went from 1% to 100%. They escorted me off the train when I got to my stop, and there was a cab driver there, and they were walking. They escorted me up to the cab, and he was looking like, oh, my God, lady, what in the world are you doing? What have you done? I got in the cab, and he said, I don't know how you survived that, but don't you ever do that again. God was with you in that one. Well, what caused me to survive is I realized I didn't have any choice but to surrender. But I didn't surrender in the sense of, you've conquered me. Okay, take my purse. I didn't throw my purse at them. I didn't panic. I didn't try to defend myself or wrap my arms around myself protecting my life. I didn't surrender as if they were an adversary and I was a conquered victim. I surrendered into love. I surrendered into the greater possibility of what could happen if they became my friends and if I was a friend of theirs. And I really believe my puppy was a very big part of that. She became my guardian at that moment, and she was for the rest of her little life. She was my guardian in every way from that moment on. And it's amazing how we connect in spirit with all of those that we will love, who will love us and be in love with us, sometimes for the whole of our life. And I think that's what we feel in the womb. We feel this awesome person who's already in love with us. We're not born yet, but we're loved unconditionally, and we're expected as if a king was going to arrive or a queen. And we're ready. We're ready to arrive and see pink or blue caps and little warm blankets. And that's Mother's Day. The first one was the day we arrived in our mother's arms. And when we can remember that, we can change a lot of things in life, just as I did on the subway in the Bronx many, many years ago. Actually, that was in 1981. So that would make it 34 years ago, I think, if my math is correct. Long time ago. I've often wondered what happened to those kids. And you know, I think something good happened to them because they also experienced surrender. They got to be something other than the tough guy adversary, the tough guy punk who has to prove how dangerous they are in order to survive. They got to see that they could be friends with someone who wasn't part of their world, who had probably very little in common with them, but we found our common ground. And that common ground was puppies and art and just being the love that we were. I didn't have to pretend to love them. In fact, if I tried, they wouldn't have believed me. They would probably have seen me as being insincere and being afraid and trying too hard. Instead, I just let them see me. Okay, well, this is what I was leading to, and that is love is who you are. And in order to find that, you've got to be vulnerable. In order to reach beyond your boundaries, you've got to be vulnerable. In order to find out more about life than you thought was out there, you've got to be vulnerable. You know, even a scientist who wants to discover something new and go beyond the boundaries of known knowledge has to drop everything he or she knows when they go into the lab. Otherwise, they'll be imposing opinions, considerations, old postulates, old formulas, old rules on what they're looking at. They'll be looking again at new things through old eyes. I think that's what Yeshua meant when he said, don't put new wine in old wine bottles. Let life be new and be renewed with a new level of experience and perception, with new eyes. He taught us about innocent perception. And we went beyond the boundary of what we had known before. The first time we ever sent a rocket to the moon, we had no idea what we would encounter, or even if we would get there. And as a matter of fact, it was not a smooth course getting there. Every few minutes, the course had to be recalculated, and most people don't know that. Because what we thought would get us there was going off target, and it had to be recalculated. And then something else would have to be either inside the rocket or at the headquarters, the land base. It had to be corrected constantly, constantly, constantly. And fortunately, they were equipped to make these adjustments and corrections. Now, I think so often we look at life as if when we have to make adjustments and corrections, we're being punished. We say, oh, gee, I thought this was going to be easy. And here we go again. Here we go again. Another tough project. Going to have to revise the way I do things. Going to have to look at things another way. Did you ever think that God is giving you an opportunity to discover something you didn't know before? To do something better than you did before? To move to a bigger parameter of life than you had known before? And you're saying, oh, but I just want my comfort zone. I want to be ultra successful, but I want to stay inside my comfort zone. And God says, oh, but my child, it doesn't work that way. Now, Mom would be with us, and she'd be ready with the Band-Aids. She'd put training wheels on our bicycle. But guess what? God does that too. We just need to be in that positive state of exploration, openness, and vulnerability. Not the bad kind of vulnerability, the sweet kind. The kind that says, yes, I can receive. Yes, I'm willing to discover. Yes, I'm willing to have faith. And I don't have to have all the answers because I know that I'll be given 1%. And if I make the most of that 1%, I'll be given 1% more. Until I'm up to 30%, and that's almost a make-break point, really. Once you're up to 30%, you can pretty much see a more distant horizon. We get the idea the make-break point comes at 80 or 90%. It really doesn't. It comes when you've got enough underfoot that you can really stand in your boots and say, yes, I know I can do this. But 1% is all it takes to get started. And 1% makes all the difference. So I would ask you to receive today for your mom and in honor of what she taught you, that she taught you to just simply receive and to live in faith that by receiving, we have another day. And by receiving in that other day, we have yet another and another and another until pretty soon. We're 5 years old or however old we needed to be in order to feel that, oh yeah, I'm me. I'm all me. I'm all boy. I'm all girl. Ready to take on the world. You know, that point came differently for each one of us. But Mom helped us get there by being through the 1%, the 2, the 3, the 4, and the 5%, whatever it took. And Christ does as well. The Holy Spirit brings us our percentage every day. By the grace of God, we're allowed to use that percentage to a greater good to fulfill our life. And now Let us be quiet in our hearts. Let us receive. I would ask that you just release your mind. Open your heart. Be still. Rest. Relax. Stop all the worries. Even let go of your expectations and your hopes for a moment. Just receive. I will say a prayer to Yeshua because we want to thank him for all of his great gifts, goodness, and love. And when that's complete, the blessing givers and I will conduct the energy of the Holy Spirit from heaven to earth and back from earth to heaven many times through about 3 minutes. During that time, you may say your prayer, or you may just receive in silence whatever feels right to you. Be with God, and let us begin. Dear Yeshua, our beloved friend, our brother, Son of God, the one who lets us know we are so much more than we think we are, the one who gives us the courage to be vulnerable in faith, knowing that whatever we have as a seed for life can be planted and it will grow with love and with faith and with nourishment and care. We can make the most of whatever percentage we have in life. We thank you for coming to us on this day to give us even more. More love, more nourishment, more of the presence of God in our life through the Holy Spirit. More, a brighter and more nourishing connection with our Mother Earth. And more courage to love our fellow man, that together we may bring to each other the presence of life. We surrender now into your love and your grace to receive all that you have to offer us this day. Amen. We shall begin. your blessing conveyance is complete. Now go rest for at least 7 minutes and receive the fullness of it. Assimilate it and take it into your body, heart, soul, and being, that it may bring into your being all the nourishment that was given for you to receive. Bye-bye for this week. I look forward to being with you again next week, and God bless you in all ways, always.